Well, to the fans of the NBA, if there was any dispute before, the current NBA playoffs removed all doubts on it. And I mean, LeBron James is inferior to Michael Jordan as an overall team player. Statistically, he has more points scored, he has the record, but Michael Jordan or MJ is a more complete star. LeBron James and his team, the Lakers, just lost a humiliating series, and he would be seen always scolding his teammates. And then at the time of the ultimate loss, he just walked out, which is a violation of the unspoken rule that you congratulate the winning players of the winning team. During MJ's heyday as a player, it was said, the best five-man team is Michael Jordan plus four more players. And what that means is, it doesn't matter who the four players are, as long as Michael Jordan is there, you have a complete team. Of course, it is an exaggeration, but it does make the point. But let me tell you of what is not an exaggeration. With Christ, one is complete in relation to God. The danger and peril that we always face is to add something more to Christ. Even though one may say Christ is his Lord and Savior, even though he may say that he finds in Christ something that makes him closer to God, the temptation is to add something to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is more important than sports. Even though sports is a very high-paying exercise for the good ones, that is ultimately nothing compared to one's relation to God. Many who see the need to have relation with God accept just any formula or ritual to have that relation. And now in my remaining two Sundays before my annual vacation, I want to address this subject of being complete in Christ. This is based on a short but key passage of Colossians. Now let me inform you that Paul is not the founder of the church in Colossae. As far as biblical records are concerned, Paul has never been in Colossae. And the best reconstruction that scholars make is that Paul influenced Epaphras through his Ephesian ministry, and Epaphras, who is a native of Colossae, returned to his native city and there proclaimed the gospel, influenced people, and a church was established through Epaphras. But then false teachings began to creep into the church. There is now a full-fledged heresy that is battering the church in Colossae. So Epaphras visited Paul, who at this point is in prison, and consulted him concerning the heresy in Colossae. So Paul ends up writing a letter, and many unbelieving scholars reject the authorship of the Apostle Paul because they say that the Christology of Colossians is too high. That is, it's too advanced. Now, that is just sheer arrogance for people today to say, I'll tell you what you should know and what you should not know. And you cannot know that much at the time of the first century. How arrogant that is. For us as believers, we simply accept that God has revealed to Paul what he is to write. That is why this is something part of the inspired word of God. We accept the letter to the Colossians as that of the Apostle Paul. And he does give a very high view of Christ to precisely counter the heresy influencing the believers of Colossae. Now, the effect of the Colossian heresy is believers are being pressed to accept that Christ is not enough, that they need more than Christ. In other words, Christ is good. It is great that you have Christ, but then that's not good enough. You need something more. But Paul reveals a high Christology, as scholars observe in Colossians in chapter 1, he reveals that Christ, in fact, is creator, the originator of all that is made, whether physical or even the powers around the physical creation. They are created by God and they are held by Christ even now. Now, that's high Christology. But not only did Christ originate creation, the new creation pertaining to that newness of the realm, the newness of the age, because Christ is now Lord, he also is preeminent. And that is a key word in the Colossian letter, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And that translates into his headship of the church. And as head of the church, he exercises rule over true believers. And chapter 2 now draws some of the key instructions, and the key instruction is to not add to Christ. Probably the key verse is verse 6. As you have learned of Christ, or as you came to know Christ, so you must walk in him. So conversion follows a life of living according to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it brings us to our text. Colossians 2 verses 8 to 10 is now part of a series of warnings. The gist of these warnings is, do not add to the Lord Jesus Christ. I would invite you now to turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we will read verses 8 to 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. That is the inspired word of God. This begins a series of warnings with the beginning of do not let. You see this in our text in verse 8. Do not let anyone take you captive. And then he repeats that in the verses 16 and 17, where Paul warns, do not let anyone pass judgment. And then he says, do not let anyone disqualify. So he is giving a series of warnings, and our text is the first of such warnings. Do not let anyone take you captive. Now, captive here is the word for plunder. Now, it was this unspoken rule. There was no Geneva Convention at the time, but there was that unspoken rule in ancient warfare, what you would call today finder's keeper. In their time, it's winner's keeper. Whoever wins, everything that he has won is his. And that is called plunder. Now, Paul is saying, because of this attractive teaching that presses you to add something to Christ, you may not realize that you are becoming a plunder, being owned by something else than Jesus Christ. So by adding, instead of having more, it is actually the reverse formula. It becomes loss by addition rather than more due to addition. When you add anything to Christ, it becomes a loss. But you see, that is precisely the attraction of this heresy. They captivate believers to add more to Christ. They are saying, you can be better with this in addition to Christ. And Paul is giving a very sharp negative to that. And let me draw this message for us. Any addition to Christ for relation with God results in loss of completeness. Anumang karagdagan kay Kristo para sa relasyon sa Diyos ay nauuwi sa lalong kawalan ng kalubusan. Any addition to Christ for relation with God results in loss of completeness. You see, the very attraction of this heresy is that it is not telling believers, give up on Christ and accept something else. So they're not saying that. They're not saying that you forget Christ because I've found something better. What this heresy is saying is you can keep Christ. And whatever it is that you think you are experiencing from Christ, keep it, but make it better by this addition. And the addition that Paul warns against here, he calls philosophy. Do not let anyone take you captive through philosophy. Now, he's not talking of the subject of philosophy. I love philosophy. You cannot study theology without entwining it with philosophy. He's not talking about the subject of philosophy. He is talking of that attitude of love of wisdom and to display that wisdom. But what he calls this love of wisdom is empty deceit. Empty, it has no substance. And ultimately, it leads you to deceit. It is self-deception. Why? He gives this characterization of this philosophy, which is empty deceit. Both two descriptions are using the words according to. What is this philosophy which is empty deceit? Well, first, it is according to human tradition. And the second is that it is according to the elemental spirits. Now, this reflects the two sources of this heresy which combined in Colossae. That's why it's called a syncretism. A syncretism is the combining together of several streams of teachings. And they combine in Colossae, but you can dissect it and find two sources. One source were the Jews, the Judaizers, who were telling their hearers that you need Jewish regulations in order to make your experience of Christ better. Christ is good, but not enough. You need regulations. That's one source, the Jewish traditions. And then the other source are the pagan company of these Christians in Colossae. Of course, they all had a pagan past. And probably they still were good friends to their pagan company before. And these pagan friends were telling them, it's good you have found another God in Christ. But do not forget the other experiences you've had when you were still not a Christian. Consider the spirits. And that's the word now used, according to the elemental spirits. Now, that translates in something that is applicable to all of us. There are two attractions of adding to Christ. The first is legalist regulations. Ang makabatas na mga tuntunin, legalist regulations, and the second is elitist experiences. Ang mapagpalalong mga karanasan. Elitist experiences. Any of these two or both in combination can become an attraction to add to the Lord Jesus Christ. So consider first legalist regulations. The warning against philosophy is that it is according to human tradition. Now, the word tradition is used by Paul in many places of his writings in a positive way. It simply means that teaching that goes back to Christ and comes to you by way of passage of official teachers, particularly the apostles. But what's wrong with this tradition is that it is not from Christ and it passes on to you merely by human tradition. And that human tradition really in the context is Jewish tradition. So they add all these regulations that convince believers in Colossae by following these human regulations, you are not giving up on Christ, you are merely adding and making your Christian life the better for it. And Apostle Paul will have none of that. Oh, how does that apply to us? We do not follow Jewish traditions. Well, but the point and teaching of this is that any added ruling authority to the Lordship of Christ is a rival, not an addition. Anumang mga pamamahala na lumalaban, sumasalungat sa pagkapanginoon ni Kristo ay karibal, hindi karagdagan. It is a loss because you now give your loyalty to one who is in rivalry to Jesus Christ. And on the rivalry of Jewish tradition with God's command, the source of the Apostle Paul is nothing less than Jesus himself. You remember that dispute between Jesus and the Pharisees, how the Pharisees were rebuking Jesus and the disciples because they were not following the regulations of their many additional laws. And Jesus tells them in Mark chapter 7 verse 8, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. Exactly the same idea Paul is saying in Colossians 2, human tradition. Jesus is saying tradition of men versus the commandment of God. The tradition does not add to the commandment. The tradition rivals the commandment of God. Our tradition may not exactly be Pharisaic, but it is the same spirit when those human rules are in rivalry to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it may be that some human rules are keeping some of you from fully committing yourself to Christ. You may be convinced that Christ is Lord and Savior. You may be convinced that it is good to have Christ as part of your religious commitment and loyalty, but you cannot let go of the other regulations religiously and think that I can add these things to Christ. No, you cannot have Christ as Lord and Savior if He is not the only one. If you add anyone else, if you add anything more, if you are a follower of Christ, there is always the temptation that certain rulers and authority will be added to Christ. Oh, please beware. I am not advocating anarchy, which is to dismiss all rules on the pretext of just following the Lord Jesus Christ. There are rules in society. There are rules in government. We're trying our best to follow the rules of Meralco so we can have sufficient electric supply, and we are always disappointed that this agency is deficient in applying the rules. There are rules in your workplace, in your study, and certainly there are rules in the church. And you just cannot say, I will do what I want to do because I only follow Christ. So if there is a rule that church service begins at 9 in the morning, I'll just attend the Sunday school, or I'll choose what I want to attend, when and where, and at what time. No, you cannot do that on the pretext of following the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here addressing our relation with God, our standing with God. And the claim of the Jews was that we have regulations to make your standing with God even better, even higher. And in place of Jews, we now have various religious traditions. There are churches with dress codes. And right here in our passage, if you just follow on verses 20 and following, Paul warns against those do's and don'ts. Do not touch, do not taste. And you can add more of violations of Christian liberty. But instead of addition to Christ, they challenge and replace the Lordship of Christ. And they become complacent in their regulations that they think they have it good before God. It's something like my my peeve. When I was in elementary, there are the teacher's pets, and I don't mean animals, but favorite students, because they erase the board and they help the teacher with things and all those other things. They do not care for the subject, and when exam comes, they fail. And I lived at a time when flunking was still a policy. So they try to have those behavioral things that they think will get the preference of their teacher, but when the real objective test comes, they fail. That's what it is like to think by following certain regulations, you can have a better standing with God. But I want to warn you of something that can very easily happen, and this is my challenge. Watch that the rules of Christ as Lord do not erode into mere regulations. Bantayan mo na ang mga pamamahala ni Kristo ay huwag maging mga tuntunin na lamang sa iyo. That can happen. The Lordship of Christ, as Paul shows in chapter 1, covers the whole of creation. And in the new creation of believers, He is preeminent. By having Christ as your Lord, you can live a life that is good as a creature of this world and as a good Christian in the church. But there will be that part in your life, perhaps coming from your past, that cannot let go of rules. And what is often done is to translate the good rules of Christ and make them into mere regulations, mere do's and don'ts. And that will send you back to the law instead of relishing grace. Grace is always God's favor in Christ. How do you know that you are becoming a mere follower of regulations? Watch this symptom, brethren. When there is joylessness in your Christian conduct, even if you are following the rules of Christ, but you do so because you just have to do them without regard for how God has favored you in Christ, you will do them all right, but without the joy. Assembly, which is a good rule of the Lord Jesus, so that we may enjoy fellowship and communion with God, fellowship with one another, it can become mere regulation. And so you come because you're expected to come. And when you go back to your home, you satisfy your conscience that you've done your duty, but without the joy of having done something for your Lord. And you can multiply that with other good rules of Christ, the Lord's Supper, and all these other things that we do out of our joy in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. One of the earliest books I have read from a Reformed writer was by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who preached a series of sermons in his church at the Westminster Chapel in London, and then published it into a book. And the title of the book is Spiritual Depression. And the thesis of his book is that it is such a bad testimony to the world for Christians to live their faith without joy. If you're always depressed, if you're always in a sentiment of heaviness in the things you do for Christ, you will find yourself spiritually depressed, and it is such a bad testimony to the world. That's why watch, because oftentimes that spiritual depression is because of joylessness, because the good rules of Christ had become regulations. But one other attractive addition that the Colossians and we are confronted with is elitist experiences. Yung mapagpalalo, mapagyabang na mga karanasan. Because another characterization that Paul says of this philosophy is that it is according to elemental spirits. Now, there has been a lot of discussion in scholarly circles what this means. I'll just use what is the common usage of pagans during this time. Remember the two sources of this heresy, the Jews that translate into legalist regulations, but now pagans would use the idea of what in Greek is stoicheia, which is translated here as elemental spirits. They believe that spirits and powers are around everything. Now, some of those spirits are good. When put to good use, you will have a good experience. And Paul speaks here of those who even worship angels. In verse 18, he speaks of those who go through details of their visions. So they have wonderful experiences because they make use of the spirits and powers around them. What do we say to that? Are we going to add an experience? Are we going to say, unless I get that experience, my standing with God is not yet complete? Well, here is a rule that we must follow because it is under the revelation of God's word. Experience must be under the rule of Christ, never vice versa. Ang karanasan ay dapat pumailalim sa pamamahala ni Kristo, huwag nating baligtarin. Another way of saying that is, do not interpret Christ by experience. Rather, interpret your experience, whether good or bad, whether true or false, by Christ. Now, Paul does not spend time arguing whether these powers are real or not. That is immaterial for now. When he was dealing with false gods of pagans, he made his conviction clear in 1 Corinthians 8:4 that these false gods do not really exist. But as to the powers, Apostle Paul does not spend time because regardless whether those powers are real or not, the point of Paul is that whatever experiences one may claim to have, they cannot interpret Christ as Lord. In Christ, it is Christ as Lord that must interpret the validity of any claim to the most spectacular experiences. I think I've told you the story of one time this woman came to my office claiming to be able to see and talk to the dead. My initial reaction, at least mentally, was, napanood ko na to. But then, I know my Bible. I know what it teaches about death, that there is no contact between the living and the dead, clearly taught both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And though that sounds creepy, I did not believe her for one moment, advised her what the Bible says concerning that. You see, that's the point. You will be confronted with spectacular experiences and you will be tempted to accept it just because it is spectacular. Miracle working, formula for blessings. You see, these experiences are elitist. Magiging mayabang lang ang mga umaangkin ng ganitong karanasan na parang sinasabi nila, kami ang may mas maganda, mas mataas na karanasan. And that is something Paul will not accept. But there is another sort of experience you must watch. Your own. It cannot be the authority of conduct. Here is one Christian with a sentiment, feeling perhaps that he is not treated well and he always gets upset with the church. and that his experience, would he allow or should he allow that to interpret what Christ says church fellowship should be? Or let's turn it around to the opposite. Here is one who's meeting success after success in his or her career despite disobedience. Is that an affirmation of his disobedience? That's just the point. Your experience should not interpret Christ. Christ should interpret your experience. Being human, we will have experiences. Being sinners, many of them are deceiving. Of the powers, probably none more deceiving when it becomes priority, and that is the lure of money. That is what's keeping many who profess Christ as their Lord from faithful and consistent obedience to God in the church and in their lives because of the lure of money. Just this few days ago, four people of means had just been sentenced with long prison time because they concocted a false story to extract money from a celebrity. How did they think they can get away with it? But that's beside the point. The lure of money is always built on a false story. A false story of how to get it. A false story of what you can do with it. A false story that your life will be happy when you have the money that you can get. And that will always keep you from the supremacy and the uniqueness of Christ. My challenge to you is watch against any claimed experience additional to the authority of Christ. Bantayan mong anumang inaangking karanasan na dumaragdag sa pamamahala ni Kristo. You will detect this easily if you are seasoned in the use of the scriptures and in dealing with Christians or people who profess the faith. When you try to confront them with the word, you will get this answer. And it is a pattern I have encountered again and again. When you show them the word, the answer is yes, but. And the but will be followed by all kinds of sentiments. The Bible warns against unequal yoking. Oh yes, but when I'm around her or him, I draw closer to God. Really? So the Bible is wrong? Any sentiment and experience that becomes the reason and rationale for not following the word is a challenge to the rule of Christ. But Christ is complete. When it comes to salvation, it is Christ and no but. You must have Him alone or you are lost forever. And so with Christian godliness and obedience, it is Christ who is your Lord. No but, no what about. Think of who Christ is as presented by Paul. Originator of creation, by Him all things consist. He is preeminent over all things. How could even I think of something to add to such a Christ? No, He is alone and He is complete. Nothing can be added. It is on this date, May 12, year 1792, when William Carey published his classic book, An Inquiry into the Obligations of Christians to Convert the Heathen. The title is actually thrice longer than that, but that's the gist. He was charting on uncharted territory because at that time, the Baptists in England were, to say the least, indifferent to the idea of mission. But Carey could see the Great Commission in the Scriptures. And so he wrote that book, which became an influential book, and thus began his journey to become a missionary in India. What you have there is one who, despite the indifference, the disappointment of having to deal with people of indifference, he would follow Christ. For him, Christ is complete. And he will follow him, no buts or whatabouts. And may that be our attitude. When you add to Christ, the formula is not you get more, but you have a loss if it is not Christ alone. The song that we will respond with was written by John Newton. Most familiar to us of John Newton's hymns is Amazing Grace. But such was his life before conversion, one who traded Africans to sell them as slaves to America, Europe, and South America. A hard-hearted man until grace converted him. And now his hymns are full of the theme of grace and Christ. And our hymn, None But Christ Can Satisfy. How true are his words in the second verse. I sighed for rest and happiness. I yearned for them, not thee. But while I passed my Savior by, his love laid hold on me. Oh, we want the experience of happiness, of rest, peace. But the real gift of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like our organist to give us one round of this, and then we will sing as a response, None But Christ Can Satisfy. Let's close in prayer. Our great God and gracious Heavenly Father, like the Colossians, we are still in this predicament of being battered with attractive teachings and invitations to add something more to Christ for our standing and relation with God. And may we stop our ears to these attractions, to these invitations, and be convinced that Christ alone is the only name that truly saves, that truly satisfies, that truly makes us sufficient in our standing before you. We pray for those who are yet to come to Christ in the fullness of his lordship and saviorhood, because they are still hamstrung by rules and religious regulations. May they realize the empty deceit that these regulations are. Or maybe those experiences that make life pleasurable, that make life something to think of, wealth, of company, of ambition, as the things that make life really full. We pray, Lord, that we may be disabused from those thoughts. And even for the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, there may be the lure of money, the lure of other things to add to Christ. But there can be no addition to the one who is the originator of creation, the one who is preeminent over the new creation. And having such a Christ, we dare not think of any addition to him. So we rest satisfied in the Lord Jesus alone. And may we reject any proffered addition to him to have a right standing with you. We thank you that in Christ there is completeness before you. And may the love of the Father, the grace of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.